Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm here with my lovely mother.
You don't mean that at all.
I don't today, actually.
No, because you've not helped enough getting the shopping in.
What are you talking about?
Little Red Hen. That's who I am. I am.
Oh, we're just finally showing the strains of our relationship. Okay, so I think we've got one of the most exciting guests of this series.
It's my absolute dream.
Would you like to introduce this person?
Tonight we've got the wonderful, fantastic goddess that is Sandy Toxford. And I'm so excited.
I'm a bit nervous. I feel like I'm not intellectual enough for this evening's
chat. Probably not. I'm probably going to have to hold the fort a bit.
Mum's going to put on her Radio 4 Guardian voice for you.
That's what Mum...
So, Sandy,
what
is your opinion on Brexit?
I'm not going to ask her that.
What are you going to ask about?
I'm talk about Paul Hollywood.
And his blue eyes.
And his blue eyes.
Please don't talk about that. I don't think she's interested in Paul Hollywood's blue eyes.
I'm more interested in what I've been told she's doing, rewriting history.
More about that coming up.
Yes.
For people that don't know who Sandy Toxvig is...
How can they not know, darling?
Well...
She's a household name.
I'm not going to lie.
Darling, if you've watched Bake Off, you will know who she is. What? But you would have known her before if you listened to Radio 4.
Well, this is the thing. I was on a TV show with her called The Last Leg.
Yes.
And they said Sandy Toxvig on it. And I boycotted this year's British Bake Off because it wasn't on BBC anymore. Yeah. I was pissed off, so I didn't watch Bake Off this year, so I didn't know who Sandy Toxvig was.
You didn't know?
But I do, because her voice is so familiar, and it's from listening to her on Radio 4. I know.
The news quiz, darling.
I know, but anyway, I felt like a bit of an idiot, and we hit it off. I fell in love, really fell in love, and managed to get her mobile number, phone number, and managed to invite her on... Table Manners.
I'm so thrilled.
Yeah, so.
And I think I've done one of my haute cuisine meals tonight.
Do you want to take us through the menu, Mum?
I've done Lebanese lamb, which is butterfried and you only cook for 45 minutes.
Easy.
What do you mean easy?
Well, no, just an easy one for a hostess.
Yeah, well, it is because I marinated it yesterday. And then we've done a warm winter salad with aubergine and spinach.
And sun-dried tomatoes and tahini.
Yeah.
And pine nuts.
And then we've done butternut squash.
Mm. With the butternut squash, we've done pink peppercorns, which we get from Skopelos in Greece. They're really difficult to find here.
Yeah, they are.
And we've kept the seeds in, which is always really good. You can roast the butternut squash seeds. We've put some cinnamon sticks in there, loads of olive oil. It's really nice. So this is going to be, I guess, a Middle Eastern feast and... We can't wait for Sandy Toxvig coming up on Table Manners. Sandy Toxvig. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, very good. Unless you're Danish, in which case you would say Sandy Toxvig.
Okay.
And we don't say the G, but the British find that almost impossible.
Okay, so Sandy talks V.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on Table Manners.
Well, I came for a free meal.
And you shall get one.
Can I tell you, half of my friends wanted to come round and wait on because they love you so much.
This is, honestly, this has got the most kind of excitement and...
Yeah.
Yeah, all mum's mates wants to.
Everyone wants to meet you and adores you.
Going to let you down now.
But no I've, way.
But can I just, want to say, I've always adored you because I listen to Radio 4. So and I've loved you long before Bake Off.
Thank
and I
you.
Thought I wouldn't love you as much once you went to Bake Off. Because it wasn't on the BBC anymore.
Well.
I thought I'm going to have a real struggle with this. But you're wonderful.
Well, do you know what? Those bakers are amazing, and you just fall in love with them. Although I didn't realise there's a drinking game. Did you know this?
What?
There's a drinking game on the internet. If I cry, you get 2 shots.
I told you she cried all the time.
That's why you love her so much as well.
But I loved Liam.
Oh, well, we all love Liam.
Did everyone love Liam?
Everybody loved... So Liam comes from Hackney, and he said, you know, the boys go off and they play football, or they maybe some of them get into trouble. Or he wanted to be the boy on the bus who bakes. And that is the most admirable thing in the world. And when he was finally eliminated from the show, I said, what are you looking forward to? He said, I finally have the money to go to Nando's. And I just...
Oh, bless you.
He was so sweet and he was so good.
He's charming. He's absolutely charming. I predict that he will have a very good career.
Do you think?
Yeah, I do.
What was he doing at university?
Drama.
Oh.
Yeah, so...
But he had such good ideas, and they're all really original.
But I loved it that sometimes he would do something, like, he did a thing, I can't remember what the thing he was making was, and he said there was some sauce, because he'd made a thing that looked like pizza. Oh, no, did he make actual pizza? And then he made dipping sauce, which is for the pizza bones. Mm. And both Prue and Paul went, what are pizza bones? And I thought, wow, that's...
Pizza bones?
Do you not know this? It's a very... Yeah, it's an American thing, which is the edge of your pizza, the crust.
Okay.
They're known as pizza bones. And you dip them into a sauce.
Well, I do like Domino's for their garlic dip that my now husband used to... You know, we used to get extra sauce for the crust.
For your pizza bones.
That's really clever.
Yeah. So, and but anyway, Paul and Brute looked baffled by this. It was alien to them.
Can we talk about Paul Hollywood for a second?
Oh, he's my...
His eyes.
He's so lovely.
The eyes. Is he really gorgeous in real life?
He's a really lovely person.
Is he?
Yeah. He's a...
Because he kind of's got this idea of... not people think he's very handsome, but not so nice. And that's,
he's charming.
I knew he's
charming. He's funny. We laugh and laugh and laugh. He's as loyal as the day is long. He's a really good friend. I don't like driving with him. He drives too fast.
But he loves cars.
I bet he's got a really fancy car, hasn't he?
Every week.
Yeah. He buys classic cars.
Yeah, he also drives Formula One cars. You know, I mean, he's... He once took me to the hotel and I had to go back for my stomach. It was terrifying.
Can I ask, were you, and I'm sure you've been asked this a lot, but were you an avid baker before you...
I love to cook, and so I've always baked in the way that the Danes will, you know, make stuff. It's quite a Danish tradition.
Okay, so what are some of Danish kind of traditions?
You might make cinnamon buns, that kind
right,
of thing.
Okay.
So nothing very exciting. I make Christmas cake every year, that kind of, you know.
Stollen?
It was more German.
Sorry.
But that's all right.
What's your Christmas cake?
Well, I've made a traditional British, because my mother's English, so I make a traditional British one for her. But I don't watch a lot of telly, so I hadn't seen Bake Off.
Joking.
So when they said, what do you like about the show? When I was first talking to them, I said, well, I like the bit where they bake. I didn't really have anything. So, but maybe that's a good thing, because I didn't try and be somebody the same.
I mean, I was prepared not to love it, and at the beginning, I didn't watch the first episode to show my
solidarity
with Mary and Sue and Mel. But then I just loved it, and it was just as good, if not better.
Well, Noel Fielding is charming.
He's sweet.
He's a sweetheart.
He's kind of an ingenue, isn't he?
He's just like I don't know. He's like candy floss. And...
But, like, I mean, it's really important that chemistry was right, wasn't it? Because I guess... Because, you hadn't watched this, you know, Bake Off before, but I'm sure it got filtered to you, you know, Mel and Sue, and to have the kind of chemistry.
Well, I'm friends with Sue, so we've been friends for years.
Did she mind?
No, the thing is, we're all working. It's a job. Yeah. We're all working, you know. I don't think we sort of think like that, really. And, just, you know, she made the choice what she wanted to do. It's not like I took her job.
Yeah.
And they're lovely. I haven't worked with Mel. They're all lovely people. We're not really the kind of... We all backstab. Wouldn't like that. But Prue and Paul and Noel and I, honestly, one of the nicest dysfunctional families I've ever belonged to.
She's so glamorous, Prue.
She's so...
Those necklaces, statement necklaces.
Amazing. In fact, so we've just been... Wow. Today, because we have a WhatsApp group, the four of us.
And, what's it called?
The Gang of Four.
Okay, nice.
And so... I've been trying... They're coming to my house, we've decided, for our Christmas lunch. And there was much discussion about whether I'm going to make Danish food. Or...
Are they coming?
You're not on the Christmas day. We're having a separate lunch. Christmas
okay,
day.
Okay, so who's cooking what?
Well, I think I will do it. Do you think it's okay to cook for Prue? It's kind of nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I think... So,
we've cooked Ottolenghi.
Oh, have you?
Oh, my God.
Nightmare when you do a lot of Ottolenghi dishes.
6 months in advance.
How was it?
It worked
He's
out.
He's gorgeous.
It worked out.
Have
right.
you met him? Oh, no. He looks at you and you think you are the most special person in the whole world. Whether you're a man, a woman, old, young.
He's
got that talent for making you feel special.
Oh, nice.
He's very, and his husband's really funny because he says that everyone has this like pressure when they go around for dinner. They have to do this big thing, but actually they just want it simple. They don't need an Ottolenghi dish.
Yeah, I was up at 6 a.m. picking lavender to make lavender shortbread.
Okay, that's quite impressive.
Didn't notice that.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be doing that. Well, that's not happening.
But, okay, so you're going to cook Christmas dinner?
I think I will do a more traditional Danish meal, which is to make special Danish meatballs. Pickled red cabbage, which takes a couple of days to make it properly. And we put apple in it so that it's slightly sweeter. Mm. And we do a kind of potatoes which are called caramelized potatoes, which are like a heart attack on a plate, and they are unbelievably delicious. So you boil the new potatoes and then put them to one side, and then put sugar and butter in the pan and let the sugar melt right down. And then you recook the potatoes in the sugar and butter. So you get an outside coating of caramel, and then inside it's just the soft potato. It's so delicious.
You don't need onion in it.
Yeah.
And what's it called?
We just call them caramelized potatoes.
Jessie,
take I write it down for you.
Are you a bit sick of cakes now?
No, I mean, I just had a wonderful time. I mean, I put on weight, which is not a good thing.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, you can't help yourself because
it's not filmed now. When is it filmed? In the summer?
In the summer, yeah.
Because it always looks lovely.
Yeah,
outside.
We'll start again in April in 2018. But the thing that I think most people don't know, because you don't see it on the telly, but behind the tent, there's another tent. About half the size.
There's my pussycat.
Pussycat, hello. Where the home economists make the perfect, so they make the...
They do the ones that Mary and... Mary or Prue...
Prue and Paul have
they
a look
say,
at.
Don't speak about Mary in
Sorry.
The house.
No, she's lovely too. But they do the ones, the special ones. And
just to make sure that everything that is being made in the tent can be made in the temperature and in the time and all those things.
But you had trouble with your chocolate.
Yes, there was a lot of melting going
with
on.
With the melting,
But what happens is... In order to get to the tent where I'm working, I have to walk through the tent where they're making all these perfect things.
You've got to try it.
You have to
And then they're left over when we've filmed them, so they're all just sitting there. And do you know what happens to all the cake that then is finished and nobody actually wants?
What?
Prue's pigs.
Oh, my God.
That happened to your wedding cake.
What
it went to the pigs?
It went to the goats and the hens.
They had meringues.
Meringues.
Apparently the pigs will eat anything. Great.
Yeah.
So we have the biggest Tupperware I've ever seen in my whole life, and it just says Prue's pigs on the side.
Quite like to taste one of Prue's pigs.
It would probably be absolutely delicious.
Sweet and delicious.
How many pigs does she have?
I don't know.
She probably could sell them bacon for something special. Yeah.
You've amazed me because you do everything.
No,
you
I
do. You do theatre.
Can't do a forward role. It's just that I've never mastered it. I don't know. I never saw the point of it. I don't know why anybody would want to do it, but it has annoyed me for my whole life. I can't seem to bend at the neck. I literally stand on my head and fall over.
That sounds really painful.
Yeah. And many hours as a child made to strip down to your underwear and try and do this annoying thing.
Can you dive? I can't dive into a swimming pool.
I can't see the point of it. So
I'm going to say that from now on. I've always wanted to dive.
I certainly can, but I can't see the point of it. I often say that about things. I can do scuba diving. I can do.
Can you?
Yeah, I love that. Have you tried that?
No.
Oh, that is a thing you should try.
I don't like my face in the water.
I think you will love it.
I did it, but I used up all my oxygen more. It was too quickly for the whole group because I was kind of nearly hyperventilating because I was so nervous. So I was bobbing above everybody because you bob a little higher.
You need to be calm.
Yeah, and so I was like, so poor guys, like, I think they got like a 5-minute swim with me. So poor sods being on my team.
But it's amazing because you're under the water and it's like a bunch of art students decided to design everything where you are. These amazing fishes, incredible colours, and
where have you done that?
All over the world, actually. Whenever I've been, you know, if I've been working away, so places like Florida and off the coast of Egypt. And
do you and your wife do it together?
No, she's weirdly. No, but there's a thing I was saying to her the other day. I said we should go off and do that, and she said, "Oh, you might take actual time off. That's an interesting concept." So that didn't go that well.
Are you going to have a holiday soon then?
We are going
Surely you deserve one.
We're going to Copenhagen this weekend.
Nice.
Wow. With a couple of very good friends, because it's my hometown.
And, will that be like a holiday then?
I love it. And the minute I get there, I just feel relaxed. There's something about the food of your childhood. Do you not think? There's something about the food that you grew up with that you just feel happy.
Yeah.
You just feel happy.
Yeah.
So I will just introduce them to... I've booked a couple of restaurants that I know.
Which ones have you booked?
Where's that famous one there?
Noma.
Noma.
Noma. That's really
I've never, ever been able to get a table.
What? No, we're ringing up away.
What really annoyed me...
Joke.
No, but my son is 23. He went last month. He got a table.
No, somebody needs
quite
to have
cross.
A word.
That's quite cross.
Have you ever seen their recipe book?
Yeah.
It's about this big. It's a coffee table book with the most beautiful... It's... Fantastic.
I have to tell you, the food in Copenhagen is phenomenal.
It's really
it's
good.
Phenomenal. I've got a couple of really good friends, and I've taken them there before. We just wander about and drink coffee, and I don't know what we do. Nothing, really.
So what is the food from your childhood, then? Like, what was it that you grew up loving and eating?
I don't know. So there's a thing... It's peasant food. There's a thing called biksemad, which means mixed-up food. And it's when you have... Everybody has something they do with leftovers. Every single... nationality has something they do with leftovers. So we chop up meat, we chop up potato, we chop up onions, and we chop up a little tiny bit of apple, and we fry it all up together, and you have a fried egg and beetroot. And it is
that sounds good.
Phenomenal.
Are you still active?
I don't get asked very often, so I did the last thing I did. I'm trying to think. I had a small part in Called the Midwife.
Amazing!
In which I played a very stern nurse whose speciality was the iron lung. Now, here's the
thing. I remember that one.
Okay, I didn't know anything about the iron lung. And there was a lot of scenes where there's a boy trapped in an iron lung and I'm being the nurse. So you can just see me rather tentatively patting the iron lung in a sort of comforting way as if I'm ensuring that the thing is working. But I don't... I played Emmeline Pankhurst in a sitcom called Up the Women.
Fantastic.
But there isn't... You know, it doesn't come up very often, unfortunately. I loved it. I love acting. That's how I started. I didn't start out to be anything that I am. I even started out to be an actress.
Was that in Cambridge?
Well, I was in the Footlights in Cambridge, which is a sort of review thing. Mm-hmm. But a director saw me in it. He said, come work for me for a year at the Nottingham Playhouse. And I did everything. I did musicals. I did Shakespeare.
Sing?
Well, I can sing enough.
Did you get the comedy part in the musicals?
Always. Yeah. The one.
What musicals did you do?
I did The Boyfriend. I did Little Night Music.
I don't know these ones.
I've heard of The Boyfriend. Night Music.
Sondheim. Oh, Sondheim, okay.
Music is a fantastic show, Sondheim show. And The Boyfriend's an old English classic by Sandy Wilson. It's got some lovely numbers in it, actually.
Fabulous.
Did you ever do Gilbert and Sullivan?
No, I haven't done, but I'm a fan.
I feel like you would be really good in Gilbert and Sullivan.
Pirates of Penzance, I could play the Major General.
Mikado, you could be. Marvelous. Yeah, it'd be amazing.
But so I loved acting, and I think it gave me up rather than I gave it up. So.
But you took over from our great friend Simon Hoggart doing the news quiz. I worked with his wife.
Simon a friend of yours?
Really good friend. He was. And he was, very good friend, for years and years. So you took over the news quiz, and I loved it.
That was fun.
I've always loved the news quiz. I don't even know the man that's doing it now.
Miles Jupp, he's very good.
Oh, yes, I know.
Miles Jupp, yeah, I know, he's very good. But I had to give it up because I was about to become political. So I gave it up to found the Women's Equality Party.
The fastest growing...
political party in the country. And
still growing.
Still growing.
Yeah.
Still growing, and we'll see.
Does that take up a lot of your time?
No, unfortunately, it doesn't. The party's now 2 years old and it has to go off and do its thing. So we have 8 members of full-time staff now. We have offices, and I have high hopes for it.
Have you got any elected?
No, it's really difficult. What I've understood, just to be serious for a brief moment, we don't have equality, and we're probably unlikely to have equality for women for another 170 years, which is where we are at the
moment. Why 170?
That's what the World Economic Forum estimates, how long it will take.
That's so terrible.
If we had it, it would actually be worth £70 billion to the British economy. It actually would be really worth it, and better for everybody. Not just better for women, better for men. It's better, better. What I've understood is that power is exactly related to the amount of money you have. How much can you leaflet? How much can you reach people through advertising? How much can you persuade, you know, through having lots of people on social media and so on? And we're poor. We're like most women, by comparison to the bulk of men, you know, we get paid on average 9.3% less. So women are poorer, so our party is poorer. If we had more money, I think we would get an elected official sooner, but I promise you we will.
Can't you get, what's her name, from J.K. Rowling involved?
I should do.
She's
amazing. She's divorcee, so that was her.
But she's quite philanthropic, and she believes in the power of women.
But she's a very powerful part of the Labour Party.
Is she still?
The thing about it is that we are available to anybody, whether you are from whichever political party, because we're not party political. Mm-hmm. The point is we're trying to get some things sorted, and once we've got them sorted, then our job will be done. It's not as we're not from the left, we're not from the right. We'd like everybody to work together and try and solve some of these problems. You know, there's some, what was the report out today that a fifth of people in this country are living in poverty? Was the Roundtree Foundation report out today. A fifth. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. It's not good enough for our children. It's not good enough for the pensioners. I forget how many more hundred thousands of pensioners are living in poverty, and the children who are living in poverty. And I would just love to see the parties not fighting, but all working together. And that's part of what we're trying to do, is to get people to talk to each other.
So it's not just about women's rights.
It's about equality generally
in all areas and all aspects of life.
Yeah. So I gave you a really good example. I had a friend of mine who I was with who wasn't feeling well, a woman, and I said, "Are you all right?" And she was vomiting and she was shaking. And I said to her, I think you're having a heart attack." And she said, no, I'm not. I don't have left arm pain, and I don't have the tight band around my, you know, all the stuff that you see advertised." Anyway, I said, because I'm bossy, "We're going to the hospital." Went to the hospital. She was having a heart attack. Now,
how did you know?
I don't know. I think I'd read something. So women's symptoms for heart attacks are not the
They're
same.
They're different than for women.
And it's not advertised. It's not advertised. So it's things like that would literally save somebody's life, right? That's not advertised. So it's things in the... So equality within medicine as well, for example, would be one of our main things that we're looking to do. But I think we can be the party that will affect change. And I don't care if the Labour Party or the Tory Party or any party steals our policies, as long as they make them happen, I'm fine with that.
Absolutely fine.
Can we also talk about rewriting history?
Yes, I'm going
Please,
to rewrite
history. Please, can you introduce
us? Have something to eat.
Yes, all right. But first let's talk about this. Rewriting history, please introduce it, Sandy. This is so important.
So one of the things that I'm obsessed with is the fact that Wikipedia is rapidly becoming the go-to thing on the internet for kids doing their homework, people wanting to know anything about history and so on. So roughly 9% of the people who contribute to Wikipedia are female and 91% are male. And the proportions of material on Wikipedia is exactly the same. 91% of the content is about men and their fabulous activities, and 9% is about women and women from history.
Why is that? Is it just because women don't contribute?
I think, you could have to generalise. You'd have to... Women don't contribute, yes, but women are literally being left out of history. That is what's happening, because the content is so overwhelmingly male. So I'm obsessed with women's history. It's one of my great passions, and I give talks.
Is that what you did at university?
No, I was read to be a human rights lawyer.
Did you?
Yeah. But I'm obsessed with women's history, and I am writing a show, which I'm very much hoping that you'll come and do, where we will tour around the country, and it'll be funny and jolly, and it'll say the bits of women's history that you don't know about and the bits that have been left out and the stuff around the world. And then I'm hoping to get every single member of the audience to commit to putting another woman into Wikipedia. So my plan is to literally rewrite history.
So every... audience member is encouraged and maybe do they have to?
We're working on nobody has to, it's not a
I would be able to put up that wouldn't be up there. I'm racking my brains. I feel like I'm an imbecile. I think you would be surprised.
I was just reading some other musicians before I came out, and I wanted to look them up, and I looked them up on Wikipedia and they weren't there. So
okay.
I think you'd be surprised the people who are not there. And I also think that the standard of what we think is a woman sufficiently important may be different to the standard of men think this man is so important he must be.
But also I think there is a problem for women in music, because I think you get more notice by the amount of clothing you wear and rather than your voice rather than how you sing and how you perform.
The general consensus was that people didn't want to write about me because my story wasn't sexy enough, that I'd gone to have a baby and written an album about my family, and that I'd written an album in her first year. It wasn't like an exciting enough story.
Okay, so
I thought it was the best thing I've ever done.
But here's what's really interesting about that is that the Impressionists, so if you think about the Impressionists that come into your head, Cezanne and Pizarro, people like that, they thought the best Impressionist of all was a woman called Mary Cassatt. And Mary Cassatt never got the big shows and never got the big reviews because she painted pictures of domesticity. Because she painted babies being bathed and women going about their chores, because that was her life. And the paintings are fabulous. And the other painters thought she was the best, but she didn't get... So nothing has changed.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed. If you go off and have a baby and do all those things and still want to be an artist and express yourself, that hasn't changed in 100 years, 200 years or whatever. You follow in a long, noble line
brilliant.
Of extraordinary women who did do that.
But at least you've been brave enough to say, when people have said, you should wear this, that and the other, you've said, no way, I'm not wearing that.
So my stepdaughter, who's a wonderful person, this band, she'll remain nameless, she went to see a women's singing group. And I saw some photographs from the concert. I didn't go to the concert, but I saw some photographs, and I was horrified by what they were wearing.
Yeah. It looks like bondage.
I just thought, she's 12 and she admires you.
I know.
Don't wear that stuff. But it makes me sound old-fashioned, so it makes me sound...
No, I don't think it does. I think it's a real worry.
Trust your music. Trust your music and use that.
I know. Do you want to eat something?
Should we eat something?
This looks heaven.
Jessica.
Sorry, I just think it's...
Jessica!
Sorry, I think you need...
Have you gone mad? You put bloody oil all over it.
It's nice olive oil.
Jessie, that's not even... It wasn't the... You don't even know where the olive oil's from. It's not your olive oil.
Oh.
It looks lovely.
Lake Como olive oil.
It looks lovely.
Fuck off, Mum. It's just a bit of olive oil. Nobody gets angry about it.
Jesus Christ. The fucking olive oil.
Feels like I'm in the family now.
You took a very polite portion.
You were Jewish. We force feed.
Sandy, I'm so happy. Can I just say, Sandy's having seconds and we all are.
It's delicious.
Where did you grow up in America?
In New York. Most of my childhood was in New York,
Both your parents were in broadcasting?
Mm-hmm. My dad became foreign correspondent. He was foreign correspondent for Danish television, but he was the only one. It's a very small country, we couldn't afford to.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to New York, because that's where the UN is. And that way he could report on any story around the world from the UN. And so we used to do it, because it was all on film then, right? Because there wasn't any digital stuff. He would finish his film, and then we would go, quite often the whole family, just for an outing, to JFK Airport in New York. And we would go to the queue, people waiting to go to Copenhagen on the plane, and go down the queue and see if anybody would take the film in a can back take it back to Copenhagen to be edited and put on the news. So even a big story from America would take a minimum of 24 to 36 hours to get back. So there was never a rush. But I remember that, going up and down the queue, just seeing if anybody would like to take the news home.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're listening to Table Manners with me, Jessie Ware, and my mother, Lenny.
Sandy, we like to ask our guests, what is your worst table manner of other people?
Sometimes, if you're in a restaurant and they have a paper napkin, people will blow their nose on the paper napkin and then put it on the plate.
That is so vile.
No, I've probably done that.
It makes me
feel
sick. I wish I hadn't eaten.
Yeah,
I feel exactly ill.
What you mean.
And oh there's God. Something about...
Good job, Jessie. Yeah,
other people's, do that on our
other
day?
People's body fluids. It's not nice for the waiter, is it? Because no, that poor waiter
terrible.
Has got to scrape the plate. I just think it just is not what a napkin is for. It's not
It is not a tissue.
Sure.
And you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it with a...
No.
A
Why? Do you think that...
No.
What do you
that's
think?
Very,
what do you think?
I think you're right.
I think you're very accurate, and I now feel embarrassed if I have ever done that, and I think I probably have done that.
If
so.
You do it, yeah. and use the paper...
Put it in your bag.
Pocket, yeah, no, I probably have put it in my pocket. I'd like to
yeah, just
why don't you put it back on your
I
plate?
I love how quick you had your answer. Some people are like, oh, you know, I'm like easy breezy.
I want to know your favourite restaurant.
In the world?
Yeah.
Well, when I was a child in Copenhagen, we used to go to the Tivoli Gardens, which are in the heart of the city.
Is it still there?
Yeah, yeah. And there's a restaurant called Gröften,
which just means the
ditch, really. And it's probably the oldest restaurant in Tivoli. And the food is, honestly, it's not like anything that you'd go, wow, it's the most amazing meal. It's just the restaurant of my childhood. And my father was phenomenally famous. He was the most famous man in Denmark. And in those days, so I was born in 1958, this is the early 60s, if you went into the restaurant with my father, all the men would stand up, click their heels and bow their heads until he sat down.
Oh, wow.
And I always think of it when I go there. So when
How lovely. When
are we going to Copenhagen on the Saturday night, I booked Gröften and it'll be the Christmas market time in the Tivoli Garden.
What's a Danish Christmas meal? Do you eat on Christmas Eve?
We celebrate Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
We take all day preparing the meal. We have roast duck.
Roast duck. And
red cabbage and caramelised potatoes and rice pudding.
Is there a special ingredient for rice pudding?
It's made of shed loads of cream. Right. And it has to be proper pudding rice. Mm-hmm. And then you chop up lots of almonds to put in it.
Oh, nice.
And then one whole almond. And the person who wins or finds the whole almond in their rice pudding wins the marzipan pig. And it has a red cherry sauce on top. But it's black tie. Everybody has to dress up. And it's in the evening.
On Christmas Eve?
On Christmas Eve. So we have dinner. Mm. And then the ladies all go into another room. And the boys light the real candles on the tree.
Then
they ring a bell and the ladies come in and go, oh, it's the best tree ever. And then we all hold hands and we sing around the tree. And then we sit down and then the youngest person, probably my grandson is too young, but the youngest person gives out the presents. And they're all given out one at a time. And we have to watch each present be unwrapped and it takes forever. By which time, some of the grown-ups are a little bit tiddly by the end. But it's lovely. The ladies wear red. And gentlemen wear tuxedos.
So what are you wearing? You're
out. I haven't got anything yet. My wife will sort something out.
Can we just take a moment? When I first met Sandy, she had the best Air Maxes on I've ever seen. Pink suede Air Maxes. They were phenomenal.
Would I like them?
You would, Mum. They were so
I'm wearing
cool.
my Geox at the moment.
They're very cool. But am I being stupid? But how do you light a real candle on a Christmas tree? I'm just wondering how that works.
Wire special holders. And they're okay. beautiful. And they're made, the ones that we have, I've been collecting them over the years. There's a silversmith in Denmark called Gil Jensen, George Jensen. And
George Jensen,
famous.
Yeah, and they make two new candle holders every year. And I've been collecting them for years so that my children eventually will have enough.
Oh, gorgeous.
And so it has a little hook And then a counterweight that hangs down, and each year there's a different shape. It might be an angel or a star or a Christmas bell or whatever. And then a white candle goes in. So the counterweight stops the candle from, and it hangs on the brooch. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you haven't seen a Christmas tree fully lit with candles, it is, you need to. It's one of the most, I will on Christmas Eve, I will text you a
please
picture
send me a
of
picture.
The tree. It is one of the most beautiful things. And that moment when we all hold hands and we sing the old Danish songs, I love that moment.
That sounds like a very special romantic Christmas.
Yeah, it's nice.
Can I just ask, what will you do on Christmas Day? Recover from
sitting
Christmas
pajamas.
Eve? Right.
Okay. Build things. There's always things that need building, I think.
It really is.
Find batteries.
Like a tricycle. Yeah. Or, yeah, you'll be doing something for...
So when do you guys, what do you celebrate?
Well, we're Jewish.
I know, so
we celebrate
everything.
So we celebrate anything that you can have a party and you can have a thing. But this year we're not going to be together because I'm going away with my other daughter.
Okay.
And she's based in LA and we're going to Hawaii.
Oh, I've always wanted
Me
to go
too. There. But next year I think we'll have one here.
Do your in-laws celebrate?
Oh yeah, they love it. They'll do. They're in Dorset. They're in Bridport, and they'll do like. Cause I still find it funny having like the gammon. They'll like have a gammon on the side.
We've never eaten gammon in our lives.
So, but I like.
You do eat bacon, darling.
I know, but I do like the gammon. It's really good.
Can you beat the cream, darling, and put a bit of...
Oh, so Mum decided to bake for you, Sandy, because,
I've never
you know,
baked
we're...
because you're... Because Aww. Of the bake-off. I've never baked a bloody thing in my life.
Well, I'm
But I went to a friend's house, and she made a clementine cake.
Oh.
Which you probably had.
No. Once.
Did anyone do it in bake-off?
No.
Okay, so you bake the clementine cake, you boil 3 clementines for 2 hours.
Right.
And then you mush them all up and put them with ground almonds and sugar and eggs. That's your clementine cake. And it looks not too bad.
Sounds delicious.
Before we tuck in, Sandy Toxvi.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming and taking a chance on a rather enthusiastic member, a guest, a fan,
okay,
basically.
You know you owe me now, right?
I do owe
so
you.
So I have never, ever been part of any music scene whatsoever. And at the very least, I want to come on.
You've got to come to the gig.
Plug in your microphone or something.
Basically, Sandy on the last leg, stupidly, I'm really happy, offered to judge a bake-off because what I've done on my tours before, I was hungry one day and I decided, I was a big fan of bake-off and I decided to do a competition and it kind of all got out of hand and I got quite fat. And Sandy learnt about this and she thought it would be a really good idea to judge.
Yes.
So anybody who's coming to, it's going to be... Probably a London show,
yeah,
I think
so.
There are 2 shows, so you maybe you don't know if you're coming. Then you may, if you want to bake, then Sandy will be judging a bake-off on stage.
And actually, do you know what? You and I are a very good example. What I love. There's lots of things I love about life. I'm endlessly enthusiastic about life. What I love is you never know when the next friendship is around the corner.
Well, Sandy, here. Cheers to that. Honestly, I am so happy to have met you and to have stolen you for this. But honestly, thank you so much for being on this.
Well,
and
a free meal.
I can't wait to see the Christmas tree.
Yeah, down the text you.
And yeah,
I'll see you in Copenhagen.
Cheers to our new fam friendship.
Yes. Where's Mum?
Cheers, Mum. Cheers.
Oh, cheers. I brought my clementine cake in.
Oh, that looks fabulous.
You don't
know.
Cheers.
Thank you so
happy
much, Sandy Toxvi.
Happy
Christmas.
Cheers. Happy Hanukkah.
Mum?
What?
Should you go first or shall I?
You can go first.
No, you go first.
I love her.
I love her so much.
Me too. She's a goddess.
She's just the best.
Just very easy company. Just so clever. Tells you all you need to know about everything.
You put your Radio 4 voice on for her, you know
did
that.
Did I?
You did.
It's because I've heard her.
The news... my good friend Simon Hoggart.
Oh, shut up. I've heard her on Radio 4.
Oh, Radio 4.
Shut up,
Jessie. I love to listen to it.
I thought it was my best meal.
It was good. All I'll say, it was delicious. Oh,
shit.
It was delicious.
Except for the oil you put on the...
No, the olive oil was perfect.
Yeah.
All I'll say is I would have loved a little gravy.
Jessie, Lebanese people don't have gravy. It was moist lamb. It was cooked for 40 minutes.
It was really good, Mum.
Jessie, the cake.
Let's talk about the cake.
Let's talk about the cake.
It was
gorgeous.
A success. A massive success.
Massive. I asked her.
Maybe you are a baker.
No. I asked her, is this good enough for Bake Off? And she just looked at me and she said, no.
She went, darling, come on.
How could she have said that?
I feel like we could have spoken for hours, and I feel like she teaches you something and you learn, and we're all going to enrol. I feel a bit embarrassed. None of us are enrolled in
the Women's Equality Party. We're all joining tonight.
You know what? And if you're listening, instead of rating us 5 stars, maybe you should go and just join the Women's Equality Party instead.
And make a difference.
And make a difference. That she's inspiring, that woman. Mum, I really feel like we're getting the hang of this podcast, though.
Do you think?
Yeah. And I think we've just gone so highbrow now that we've had Sando.
Keep it up, Jessie.
We need to keep it up.
Yes. You know, Grandma used to say, what? If you bend down in the gutter, you pick up nothing. Keep high.
Pushy. Jewish.
Mother.
By the way, if you've been enjoying the music on the show, it was created by my good friends Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners has been produced by the fabulous
Cup and Nuzzle.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.